If you've got a Bible, we're going to read from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8 this evening. This is the final part of our short series. We've done about 5 or 6 weeks, taking some Proverbs and having a look at these golden nuggets from Scripture. And that's really what the Proverbs are. They're little golden nuggets of truth. The Proverbs are bite-sized wisdom. They say a lot in a few words. Somebody once put it this way, describing the Proverbs. What is a proverb? They said, a proverb is a short truth based on long experience. A short truth based on long experience. And say, this is the end of our series. We've just picked out a number of proverbs. There are hundreds and hundreds of proverbs that we have not touched. We have not gone anywhere near, and themes we haven't even looked at. Can I encourage you maybe to spend some time in your own personal devotions? I trust you see the importance of reading God's Word, of it being central in your daily life, of just gleaning from God's wisdom, reading God's Word. That can I encourage you, if you haven't read the book of Proverbs for a while, just to take it, spend some time, read these Proverbs, pray over them, and let them shape your life as well. It's often been said there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's usually 31 months or days in a month. If you took a chapter a day, that would keep you going for a whole month. But actually, personally speaking, there's so much in the Proverbs. A chapter a day is probably too much to take in. But just taking a few of these Proverbs, you know, reading a couple each day and just praying them in, that will really shape your heart, your mind, your affections in a godly direction. And what is needed today? What is needed in our families? I'm a father, the 3 children, I'm a husband. What do I need on a daily basis? I need godly wisdom. What do you need for your family, your situation as you deal with parents, siblings, children, grandchildren? You need godly wisdom. What do you need tomorrow morning when you go into the workplace and have to deal with the work colleagues? You need godly wisdom. What do you need when you come into church every week? And you interact with people, and you do it in a right, godly way. You need godly wisdom. What does our society need? And what do we need as Christians as we try and navigate our way through culture and society? We need godly wisdom. And that's what this book provides. All Scripture provides godly wisdom, but the book of Proverbs really brings that out as a theme. So let's read. And the last time I preached, about a month ago in Proverbs, we read verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. I thought I'd just continue on through in the verses 7 and 8. Let's listen to God's word. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Amen. Now, nobody likes a smart aleck, do they? Maybe you do, I don't think we do. Nobody likes a smart aleck. And in our maybe group of friends or people we know, acquaintances, we probably know one or two, we'd label them as a smart aleck. If you don't know any smart alecks, it's probably you. You're probably the one in the group that your friends are thinking about at this point. A smart aleck is somebody who knows it all, don't they? They're an expert on every topic, or so they think, and they like to let you know all about it. They're always chirping in. We all know what a smart aleck is. It's not exactly a compliment, especially if your name is Alex. And that's my middle name. I'm Peter Alexander Lawther. Perhaps my parents knew what sort of child I would be. I would be that smart aleck kind of person. But they're overconfident. Do you know what else they are? Unteachable. They're full of themselves. They are wise in their own eyes. That's how this proverb started off. Be not wise in your own eyes. This kind of person's not humble because they're full of themselves. They're arrogant. But let's be honest. We can think of people like that, can't we? But let's point the finger back at ourselves. We're all a bit like that. Maybe we might verbalize it in public, but often we think we know what's best. Nobody's going to tell me what to do because I know better than them. And why are we like this? You know why we're like this? Because it's a result of our forefathers, our Adam's fall. Our minds have been corrupted, they've been tainted by sin. And because we have a mind that's tainted by sin, we're wise in our own eyes. We think we know what's best. And this proverb we've read speaks directly into that. Be not wise in your own eyes. That phrase, own eyes, really means in your own estimation. Don't be wise in your own estimation. When it comes to making daily choices, when it comes to making decisions in your life, you think, no, I don't need help. I don't need guidance. Why not? Because I am wise in my own eyes. That's our natural, sinful, default position. What does the writer say here? Don't do it. Be not wise in your own eyes. There's echoes, actually, of verse 5 that we looked at a number of weeks ago, where it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean and be not wise. Don't do it. Don't even go there. Now, this warning doesn't suggest that as God's children, we just switch off our brains and we ignore our common sense. Wisdom in Scripture, as you read through, and wisdom's obviously a big thing here in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom's not merely intellectual. Wisdom that's talked about here in Scripture is primarily moral. It's about making wise moral judgments and wise moral decisions. Basically, wisdom is the decision to do the right thing. So as I interact with Joanne, she's rolling her eyes, okay? What's he going to say next? I need wisdom to do the right thing, to be godly in the way that I treat my wife. As I make decisions on a daily basis on how I look after my children, as I care for them, as I discipline my children, as I bring them up in the fear of the Lord, I need the wisdom to do the right thing. And do not be wise in your own eyes. The proverb gives us a very simple instruction. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, do something else. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Do you know, in this book, there are very difficult things. There are very difficult passages. There are very difficult truths to preach on. Sometimes when I come to prepare sermons, you wrestle for days thinking, what does that mean? Give me a greater understanding. There are difficult things in God's word. But here's the reality. There's lots of really simple, straightforward things as well. Really simple things that we just need to be obedient to. And Proverbs is packed full of these little sayings. And this is really straightforward. Don't be wise in your own eyes, in your own estimation. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs here. One of the most famous proverbs is one we find right at the start. It really sets a tone for the rest of the book. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? You want to be wise in your marriage? You want to be wise as you look after your family? You want to be wise as you go into work tomorrow? You want to be wise as you navigate your way through culture and society? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear is a negative word. I wonder what you're afraid of. I wonder if we were to do a straw poll, hands up, what we'd find amongst our congregation. All of us are probably afraid of something. Maybe it's spiders. Some of us hate spiders. Isn't that right, Laura? Sorry to pick you out there, yeah. Some of us, you know, you mightn't come across this, but if you had a snake in front of you, you'd be terrified. I'm going to put my hand up to that. I wouldn't even go near a snake in a glass cage, okay? I would be shaking with that. Maybe it's dogs. People don't like things that move. Lots of different things. And we think of the word fear, that's a negative word, something that makes us quake, that makes us shake, that makes us tense all over. How can fear be a good thing? But what we need as we come into Scripture is just a proper understanding. And this phrase, the fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, is a repeated phrase over 900 times in all of the Bible. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to regard God with a reverence. It means to regard God with an awe. And what we need to do is we need to get a right vision of who God is. And if you think back to the songs that we've sung this evening, all the songs that Paul has chosen for our service have helped us to do that.
We've sung songs that have helped us get a right vision of who God is. We started off with holy, holy, holy. And then we sang about being still in the presence of God and really brought out attributes of God's character as well. And to fear the Lord is to get a right vision of who God is. And to come before him with just reverence and awe and humility. And that's what we need to do. The beginning, the fear of the Lord is actually the beginning of wisdom. It's so, so important that we get the right vision of who God is. He alone is holy. We sang about that at the start. God is a holy God, majestic in his purity. He's an awesome God, great in power, great in might, great in grace, great in love, great in mercy. God is glorious in all his ways. I preached about this a few Sunday mornings ago, about the glory of God. Simply put, God is big and we are small. God is great and we are not. God is perfect in all his ways and we are not. And so we need to get this right vision of who God is. Fear of the Lord doesn't leave us shaking behind a sofa. Instead, it gives us a reverential awe and respect for who he really is. Now, I read at the start from Isaiah chapter 6. I read from that passage where the prophet Isaiah got a vision of who God was. And he got a glimpse of the holiness of God. He got a glimpse of the holiness of God. And what did he say? He said, "Woe is me." He didn't say, "Wow is me." Didn't think he was great in his own eyes, did he? When he saw the awesomeness of God, when he saw the perfection of God, the holiness of God, it made him realize who he was. It humbled himself. When you see the greatness of God, it humbles you. Woe is me. Somebody who thinks they're wise in their own eyes says, "Wow is me. Look how great I am. I don't need anybody else." The prophet Isaiah got a right vision of God, and he had a fear of the Lord. He had a reverential awe for who God is. Here's what Psalm 33 says. Psalm 33 and verse 8 reads, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Let all the earth fear the Lord. See who he is. Worship him with reverence and awe. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do we? I ask that question to my own heart. Do we stand in awe of God? So often we take God for granted. Yeah, we slip in here on a Sunday and we sing these nice songs and we enjoy the tune and we like the words and we sit down and say, we enjoy that. But do we get a glimpse of who God is? And as we read his words, we hear it preached, as we read it in our own, do we get a glimpse of who God is? Does it stir our hearts? Does it stir our affections? And do we say, woe is me? Here is God. Here is me. Woe is me. So often we take it for granted. And when we get the right vision of who God is, nobody remains a smart aleck. Instead, it humbles us, and we submit to him, and we submit to his perfect ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why the fear of the Lord is so important. It's so important for godly living. And so as we head into a new week, the fear of the Lord is so important. That's why the children of Israel were commanded constantly through Scripture to fear the Lord. "You shall fear the Lord" is repeated time and time again. Time again throughout the Old Testament to God's people. And people who fear the Lord humbly submit to him. People who fear the Lord humbly submit to God's ways. I wonder this evening, have you ever done that? Have you ever got a glimpse of who God is and what he has done for you and what he's done for you through the person of his son, Jesus Christ? And if you've got a right vision and you've humbly submitted yourself to him, I wonder this evening, are you stubbornly ignoring God's perfect way? The human heart is a stubborn heart. And often we ignore God's perfect ways. I wonder this evening, are you trying to be wise in your own eyes? I don't need the Lord. I don't need the Lord and his salvation. I'm okay in my life the way it is. I don't need him in a daily basis. That's what you call being wise in your own eyes. But it's not wisdom, is it? It's actually foolishness. And so what we need to do is we need to turn away from our evil, as the proverb says. We need to turn to God, get a right vision of him, and submit our hearts and our lives to him. We need to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. So don't be stubborn. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But humble yourself and submit your ways to Jesus Christ. And the Christian life continues. It continues on a daily basis by fearing the Lord. On a daily basis, we need to humbly submit ourselves to his ways and his perfect wisdom. And there's a real spiritual benefit that comes from it. And we see that in verse 8. This is the spiritual benefit that comes from fearing the Lord. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. That is a great verse. It's a great image that's being painted there. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. What does that verse mean? To be honest, I'm not exactly sure what that verse means. I'm not exactly sure the full implications of what this verse is driving at. But it's a great word image to read it by. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, I can't mean that if you're struggling with some sort of ailment, that if you're struggling with some sort of health issue, well, you just fear the Lord and automatically you'll be healed from that. But when we need to look wider in Scripture. And often Scripture will use this image when it's talking about its spirits. It'll take the image of our physical health. Take the image of our physical health, our physical well-being, and it uses it to describe spiritual well-being. And so when you're right spiritually, it has this great effect upon all of your life. And so when you get things in the right place, and you get the right vision of God, and you're fearing God, it will have this spiritual nourishment, this spiritual refreshment to you as a person. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In other words, fearing the Lord is good for you. Just as going for a walk for life and walking with the ladies will be good physically for you, fearing the Lord is good for you. It brings healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So what's the big idea of these very simple verses? It's really a call to fear the Lord. It's really a call to get a right vision of who God is and to come before him with reverential awe and respect and fear. And the big idea of these verses leads to the big question, a very obvious application. Do I fear the Lord? Do I have a proper reverential respect and awe of the living God? Do I fear the Lord? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The last few weeks I have not been wearing my contact lenses, which I am wearing today. I have had a problem with my vision. I hate wearing glasses. I've worn it over the last two Sundays. And actually, it's led to a bit of a debate among some of the people in the churches whether they preferred me with contact lenses in or glasses. I stumbled into the parent and toddler's kitchen last Tuesday. The ladies were getting ready for parent and toddlers, and they were discussing whether I look better with my glasses or without. The common consensus was I look better with my glasses. One lady was even commented to me that she thought I had more authority on the platform with my glasses on. So I've obviously lost it all here tonight. I'd run out of contact lenses, couldn't see properly, so I had to stick on the glasses. And my opticians wouldn't give me a new set of contact lenses until they'd done an eye test on me. They wanted to check my health of my eyes. They wanted to check eyesight hadn't changed. And so last Tuesday, after this test, I got my contact lenses back in. And it's so much better to be able to see properly again. It's great to have good vision. But is my vision of God correct? Do I fear him? Do I have a reverential awe and respect? Or Am I wise in my own eyes? Do I have faulty vision? I'll go through life myself, because I'm wise in my own eyes. I am self-sufficient. Being wise in your own eyes is faulty vision. And so as we start this new week, and as shortly as we head back to our own homes, into your family situation, whatever that is, maybe closing the door and being there in a house on your own, or being in a house full of people, maybe going to work tomorrow, maybe going to school or university, maybe looking after grandchildren, maybe interacting with neighbours, whatever our week looks like, what do we need? We need godly wisdom. And what does the proverb say? Do not be wise in your own eyes. In this incoming week, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And so this is a proverb to take with us this week. Why not take these proverbs? Let's just close our Bibles tonight. As I said this throughout this series, don't close your Bibles, ignore it. Why not think about this? Meditate upon it. Let it turn over in your head. Let's pray it into our hearts and our lives. God, help me not to be wise in my own eyes as I deal with my family this week. As I go into work, help me not to be wise in my own eyes, but help me to fear the Lord. Give me a right vision of who you are, your greatness and your glory. That may humble me, that I might turn away from evil and turn to you. And look for the spiritual blessings that flow from that. Be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And so let's, as we finish this series, let's pray together. I'm going to take some time just to pray for each one of us and pray this scripture into our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come humbly before you this evening. We thank you that you are the great and the holy God, and we all need your godly wisdom. We know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Strip away pride from our hearts. Humble us. And instead of looking through our faulty vision, let us lift our eyes to one who is greater. One who loves us and cares for us. Help us look to you, O Lord. Give us a vision of who you are. And help us to fear you. Help us, like the prophet Isaiah, to say, woe is me. Strip away everything that would cloud our vision of you. And as we fear you, help us to turn away from evil. Help us to run away from evil. And help us run to you, seeking your guidance, your leading, and your help in every aspect of our lives. We thank you for the spiritual blessings that come from fearing the Lord. We thank you that fearing the Lord brings healing to our flesh and nourishment to our bones. And we pray for this kind of spiritual blessing in each of our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us not to forget Scripture. Help us to meditate upon it. And help us to follow the simple instructions that we read here. Bless us as a people. And we pray this evening just for anybody who is stubbornly turning against you, stubbornly ignoring your great salvation and your great love for us. They're continuing to be wise in their own eyes and rejecting your salvation. And we pray, Lord God, that tonight they would get a fresh vision of who you are, your great love for them, and they might humbly come and put their trust in you. Bless us, we pray, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. Amen.